venerable religious and dear parishioners, we have the note of separation being struck in today's gospel. And we might ask, why during this joyful Easter season do we hear this sorrowful theme? And sorrowful because, as our Lord says, sadness has filled your hearts. And they were sad because Jesus told them he was going to be separated from them in his passion and death. But there is also another separation that was going to take place, a much longer one, one that would last the rest of their lives. It would be the separation from him when he ascends into heaven 40 days after Easter. So even though we are in this great time of joyous celebration of Easter, we are liturgically preparing for separation. Separation on Ascension Thursday. During the principal mass on Ascension Thursday, the paschal candle will be extinguished, representing the loss of the sensible presence of Jesus from his apostles. But it must needs happen, and that is what our Lord is telling in the gospel for today. Actually, we had this idea of separation in last Sunday's gospel as well, but we were celebrating the feast of Saints Philip and James, so we didn't hear this gospel read to us. A little while and you shall see me no longer, and again a little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. So, why does this separation have to take place? Well, obviously our Lord isn't going to stay on earth in a visibly sensible way. We know, of course, that he continues to be in the Holy Eucharist. What a consolation that is. Even though we don't feel the presence of Jesus, see him with our visible, you know, visibly as the apostles did with their eyes and talk to him as we talk, with a fellow human being, nevertheless, he is physically in the tabernacle and he is here to accompany us on our journey in life. But it's the sensible presence that is gone. And Jesus, besides conveying to us the obvious fact that he has to go back to heaven and be at the right hand of the Father, he says, if I do not go, the Holy Ghost will not come to you. Now, we are reminded of the fact that the three divine persons have attribution made to them of certain things. We attribute creation to the Father, we attribute redemption to the Son, and we attribute sanctification to the Holy Ghost. Now, the three persons work together perfectly. There is no greater unity or bond, unanimity, than the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. However, we are taught very clearly that we are to ascribe certain things to each of them, even though they work together. Here's another explanation I would like you to hear. The apostles themselves might have asked, and many commentators inquire as to why Christ's departure was a condition necessary to the coming of the Holy Ghost. The only satisfactory answer is that such was the will of God. Although there was no absolute necessity for this order of things, and although, absolutely speaking, the work of redemption and sanctification might have been otherwise accomplished, still, in the divine economy, each of the three divine persons was to take a special part in the regeneration of fallen man. The Father was to send the Son into the world and to draw to him the predestined members of the church. The Son was to teach mankind the truths of faith. And he is also at the end to distribute all the rewards or punishment. The Holy Ghost was to finish the work of Christ on earth and to unite the members of Christ's mystical body in the bonds of perfection. So another way of understanding this, and we have to remember, what is the Holy Trinity? It's the three persons in one God. From all eternity, the Father begot the Son. And the substantial love between the Father and the Son is the person of the Holy Ghost. He proceeds from them. He is the bond between the Father and the Son in a substantial way. So we see the Holy Trinity doing for us what you might say goes on among them. The Father creates, has created. He's given us the Son. And as the Holy Ghost is the bond between the Father and the Son, so the Holy Ghost is the bond among all of us. Through sanctifying grace, the Holy Ghost is in us, is in our souls. We call our bodies the temples of the Holy Ghost. This is why during Solemn High Mass, the server will incense you. After the priest being incensed, well, first of all, our Lord being incensed, then the priest, then the servers, and then you. Why? Because you are temples, and we are honoring the presence of the Holy Ghost in your soul. What a great tragedy to lose this life of the Holy Ghost through mortal sin, as we know. That's what happens. But we can get it back, and we have to hold on to it with every fiber of our being. We have to hold on to that presence of the Holy Ghost, sanctifying grace, the supernatural adoption that we've been given in baptism. We do whatever it takes to preserve and increase this life in us. So to go back to what our Lord is telling the apostles, and he's forecasting, of course, his leaving them on Ascension Thursday. He says, if I don't leave you, the Holy Ghost will then not come and do his work. If we want to receive that, we have to go through that separation. So that was the lesson for the apostles. And what will the Holy Ghost do? He will convict the world of sin and of justice and of judgment. See, that's the sanctifying work of the Holy Ghost. He's going to convict the world of sin. What does that mean? He's going to open the eyes of those that are willing, that will cooperate with him. He's going to open their eyes to the reality and evil of sin. Do you understand better the evil of sin? Then that is the work of the Holy Ghost in you. He's convicting you of sin, the reality of sin. As we grow spiritually, we should have a greater horror for sin, whether in ourselves or in others. It's the convicting work of the Holy Ghost in our souls. He is there helping us grow. He's going to convict the world of justice. What does that mean? Our Lord gives his own explanation, but I'd like to give a kind of paraphrase of our Lord. He's convicting people of what goodness is. As we understand the evil of sin and are convicted more and more of that, we should also be convicted more and more of striving for good, of striving for virtue, striving for holiness, striving to do good deeds. That's the work of the Holy Ghost in your soul. As you desire and resolve to do more good in your life. But there's a third conviction of judgment. for those that will not be convicted of sin and of justice, then they will be convicted by judgment. And we know there will be that judgment of us after we die, and then, of course, at the end of the world, the general judgment. If we allow and seek to be convicted of sin and of justice, then we will not have much at all to fear of being convicted of judgment. So again, the work of the Holy Ghost. If Jesus doesn't leave them, then the Holy Ghost will not do this work. Not that Jesus is inadequate in any way. He's Almighty God. He can do all things. But this was the will of God. The Father would send the Son would redeem us, and then the Holy Ghost, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, comes to us and accomplishes the sanctification in a very primary sort of way. You know, if it hadn't happened this way, maybe we would be very unfamiliar with the Holy Ghost. He'd be, and even now, he's called the forgotten person of the Holy Trinity. Let's remember, they're equal to one another. They're just different in their relationship. But they are doing this work by their will, by the will of God, whom they are, three persons in one God. This gospel also points to something else, my dear brethren, and that is the role of separation in our own lives. Separation happens. And sometimes we make sure separations happen for a spiritual good. But sometimes there are those separations that happen that we would not wish. I'm thinking, for example, when you go on a retreat, when you take a weekend to do a retreat, you're separating yourself from your normal circumstances, and then you see things that you normally don't see. This is why retreats are so beneficial. Because of that separation from our normal activities, we can take a look at our soul that we cannot take a look at in our normal, humdrum, busy circumstances. When our Lord wanted to heal people, we read in the gospel how he separated them from the crowd. He took them aside, because they would not appreciate the fullness of what he was doing unless that separation had happened. And then the separations that come in our lives, obviously not because we would ever have chosen them, but God allows them. We are separated from our loved ones. Death happens to all of us. And as painful and as sorrowful as those times are, we have to remember that a good is happening in our souls. Our eyes are open more spiritually, or to spiritual realities more that we're not open to in the same way before. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, very, very well-known verse, talks about our condition here on earth. All things have their season and their times. All things pass under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to destroy and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather. I encourage you to read more of that. Again, chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes. So this is our condition here on earth, but let us remember the loving God who understands our lives, who knows our trials, our tribulations, our sorrows, our sufferings. But let's not forget that in those times of separation, He is accomplishing spiritual good that otherwise might not happen. It could be other separations in life, but His work is being done. There's that saying, when God closes a door, He opens a window. It's the idea that He's working with our souls. And of course, we are entrusted to our Blessed Mother, our Heavenly Mother. She's involved in all of this with the Holy Ghost, trying to bring about that sanctification. These things, these difficulties, these times of sorrow in our life, they happen not because God wishes to inflict pain on us, but to accomplish the spiritual growth, just as He accomplished that spiritual growth in His apostles. And they became the great saints that they did. Let us know that we are loved by the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we are loved by our Blessed Mother more than we can understand. We are in their hands, and may we cooperate with them to bring to fullness that life of holiness and grace that they wish of us, so that we may grow to our spiritual stature and receive our eternal reward. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.